Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning. Yes, we're blessing Robin's house, 12:30 today, and it's 2529 North 11th Street. So if you want to write that down, you want to put that in your GPS, whatever. 2529 North 11th Street. Blessing Chris and Robin's home. Do what? Just a minute. Hallelujah. Wow, how do y'all feel? Man, I tell you what a worship service, right? Wow. Music was pretty good too. But the object of worship is what's so great. Wow. He is awesome, isn't he? And so today, the message is going to be quite a bit different. Actually, I have a question for you, and I need you to help me answer it. But before we get started, I want to pray, because it could be very easily misunderstood what I'm about to say. And so I don't want that. I want you to really grasp a hold of what God has for you today, because it's really vital for you. So Heavenly Father, Lord our God, we give you praise. We do worship you. Oh my word. How I thank you that you are our God. And the scripture tells us, and we know by comparison, there is no God like our God. You're a God of love. You're a God of compassion. You're a God that demonstrates, you're a God that wants to be active in our lives. You're a God that supplies everything that we need pertaining to life as well as godliness. You're a God that has it all together. You're a God that has created the heavens and the earth and created us as individuals, and yet you so choose to live and dwell within us. You so desire to have us as your family. You are so unique. And so awesome, and so wonderful. And we love you today. We love you. And I thank you that we were able to express that love towards you. And I pray, Holy Spirit, just come. We give you permission to literally fill this place with the glory of the Lord. I give you permission to speak into our hearts and our minds. I give you permission to use me to speak everything that you would want said. And I also give you permission to keep my mouth shut on the things you do not want said. I pray that, Holy Spirit, that you will open up the spiritual ears of every individual here, and that, Heavenly Father, that you will keep the words that I speak in direct polarity to those that are receiving. I bind the enemy that would like to twist words and thoughts. I bind you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I prohibit you, I forbid you to twist my words. And I pray that, Lord Jesus, through it all, you would be exalted, you would be glorified. You would be magnified, and your people will have a greater understanding, a greater steadfastness in you and who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So the question is this. I'm going to use the word Christianity, but you're going to understand here pretty shortly that I really don't care for that word. I don't care for that phrase because of all that has been brought into it, and so Christianity is one of those ambiguous words. It incorporates so far more than what it actually should. So we'll just leave it at that. But so my question is this. What makes your Christianity unique? What makes your Christianity unique? Why is your Christianity different than a lot of the Christianity out in the world? Why do you believe what you believe? And what do you believe? And how do you know that you believe it? Good question. And why do I ask that? Because you're going to be challenged in your Christianity. You're going to be challenged in your faith. In fact, it's been happening all along, but even more so as we enter into the end times. I say enter into, we've been in the end times. But as we get closer to the coming of the Lord, the enemy is rising up. He knows his time is short, and he's doing everything he can to distract and to draw even the elect from devotion, total devotion to Christ. So how would you defend your faith? How would you defend it? For several years, there's been a move to create a one-world religion. It's been going on, and it's still going on today. In fact, because of a lot of the persecution, I don't know if you've noticed it or not, but persecution of the Christians has risen quite high across the world. And that's not just by coincidence, it's on purpose. And in the end times, we know that there will be the forming of a one world religion and be brought together in the disguise or under the pretense of bringing peace upon the earth. Because it's different religions killing each other. The Pope, present Pope, as well as the Pope past, has been very active in bringing this one world religion together. What are the three major religions? Okay, Catholicism, right. Muslim. What's the other one? The Jews, Judaism. Those are the three major religions. And the Pope is busy in uniting those three together. The Pope representing Christianity, that's the reason why I say I don't like the word Christianity, because it includes more than it really should. So the Pope is trying to bring together the Muslims, the Jews, as well as the Christians. And they say things, and listen, you've heard this, you've heard it. Well, we all serve the same God. Right? We all serve the same God. Haven't you heard that? Hello? No? Some people say no. Oh, my word, I've heard it for years. Yeah. We're all serving the same God. We're just taking different avenues to get there. We're all trying to get to whatever heaven or euphoria or whatever. We're all trying to get there. We're just taking different paths and so forth. But we all serve the same God. And so that's the thrust. But do you serve the same God that they do? No. Your worship declared that this morning. Listen, that was awesome. You were engaging. You were worshiping the one and only true living God. And it was evident in your life that you are convinced that He is. and that He is the Lord of your life. Amen? But whenever you're confronted, well, we serve the same God. You're serving the same God as Judaism. You're serving the same God as the Muslims. You're serving the same God as the Christian world, Christianism. No, you're not. They are. Let me just say that. Now, I do need to put in disclaimers here. I love the Jewish nation, and so does God. I'm not talking about the Jewish nation. I'm talking about the religious system of Judaism. I'm talking about Muslim religious system. I'm talking about Catholicism. Those three serve the same God. Not only do I say that, but Jesus does also. And I'm going to show you. And so there's a thrust to bring those three together in the hopes of bringing world peace. But the scripture says whenever they're shouting peace, peace, then what happens? Come on, don't you guys ever read your Bibles? Yeah, then comes the destruction. All right? Our hope is built on nothing less than what? Jesus Christ and His righteousness. Amen? Amen. So how would you defend your religion? How would you say, no, I don't serve the same God? And how would you defend your religion? Raise your hand. Remember, I told you I need some help here. Raise your hand. Okay. Someone want to run? Hey, you want to run the microphone? And please use the microphone so that others can hear you online and so forth. Eric Joy.
The word says that all authority and power is given to Him.
Okay, true. That's true. That's true. But we still.
Right hand side too, which right hand side means power.
Okay. All right. But we all serve the same God.
I would have to say that for me, it's not a religion, it's a relationship. And like every relationship, you have times of blessing and have times of bending. And in that, you come closer together with that relationship with God, with the relationship with the wife or husband. And I know that He is the Lord and Savior, and I know He's alive because He lives in me, and I have a relationship with Him.
Okay. So it's not a religion, it's a relationship to you. Amen. Amen. I love that.
For me, and it's to what you were saying, there's only one God. Like, that's what you're saying?
That's what we're all serving. We're all worshiping, serving the same God.
I would tell them the word says that that's not true, that the only way to the Father is through Jesus Christ.
Okay. All right. Anyone else? Come on, you guys are shy. So you're going to allow the world to walk all over you and your faith?
Mine's the only one that died and rose 3 days later.
Yeah, absolutely. She said, my God died for me. He didn't just die for you. He died in her place, as her. Amen? Anyone else?
So I've talked about encounters that I've had with the living God, and I asked them if they have encounters. Have you ever had an encounter with your God? And so when they say no, I always tell them, well, here's the encounter and my testimony and how I have experienced God myself. And then we get into discussion, if it's a Muslim, we get into discussion that an angel of light came to Muhammad, what is it, 400 or 600 years later than after Christ's crucifixion. And the Bible tells us that the enemy will come like an angel of light and deceive many people. And that's a deception of their religion and different things. So.
Okay. Anyone else? You. Eric.
Apostle Paul says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory. Only through the blood are we saved. And then only through the blood was the sacrifice count worthy.
Amen. Amen. Bingo. There you go. Now we're on the right track. Another thing that anyone else?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, go ahead.
My God actually serves me as well as me serving him. Everybody else is by the legal system, and we get grace.
Oh, my word. There's the other big one right there. Whoa, give them both a hand. Absolutely. I'm surprised grace wasn't brought out first of all. Okay, that's all. Go ahead and just turn it off. And thank you. Appreciate it. The scripture tells us that you and I, as born-again believers, are saved by grace, right? We're saved by grace through faith. Grace means that God has given us that which we do not deserve. That's one of the definitions. Also, grace means what else? I've told you 100 times. Come on, what else does grace mean? Yeah, I just said that. No. Divine. It is divine power. Grace is divine power to cause change in your life. Okay? So he gives us that which we do not deserve. That's grace. And he also gives us the power to change, to become like him. Paul tells us that in the book of Romans. And we end up doing the things we don't want to do. And the things we do want to do, we can't do. Why? Because you don't have the power. But now, in chapter 8, now we have the Holy Spirit within us. By Jesus Christ, now we have the power to live a life that is pleasing unto him. Amen? And it's by grace. In other words, God did it all through his son Jesus. In every other religion, you have to do something in order to earn, to find favor. We've already found favor. We've already been blessed with the favor of God when we exercise faith in his son Jesus. Amen? So faith is, grace is huge. It's huge. That separates it from all of the other religions. Those three that I've mentioned, what are the things that they say? They are descendants of who? Father Abraham, absolutely. They're descendants of Abraham. The Jews even told Jesus, our father is Abraham. What do you mean we can be free? We're already free. He says, no, you're not. We're going to read that scripture in a little bit. The second thing that is major, that is huge, is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. His blood set everything else apart. And God was setting the stage from the very beginning in Genesis all the way through the Old Testament. That's the reason why, listen, it is so important as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, as Christians today, to realize we have in our Bibles what is called the Old Covenant, the Old Testament, as well as the New Testament, and you need to be aware of both of those and come to great understanding, because the Old Testament is setting the stage. It was types and shadows for what is to come, and Jesus Christ is what is to come. And he did come in the fullness of time, and he is coming back again. And you need to know those things from Scripture You need to be able to defend who you are in Christ by the Word of God. You need to be able to defend, not that He needs it, but for your sake, defend God Himself. Because your God is a different God than those major religions. Well, Judaism? Yes. Yes, Jesus even pointed that out. Okay, so to get back on track for me, I'm going to go to Leviticus. I want to read a scripture in Leviticus chapter 11. Excuse me. No, 17, verse 11. Well, there we go. 17, verse 11. Listen to this. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you on the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood by reason of the life that makes atonement. And in the midst of that, he's saying, don't eat the blood. Don't eat the blood with the meat. And so, but yet at the same time, God has given us all meat to be able to eat. But we are to drain the blood when we kill an animal. Are you with me? So, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. Right off the bat, God is giving emphasis to the importance of the blood. And in the blood of animals were sacrificed. Even while Adam and Eve was still in the garden, God was demonstrating grace and sacrificed on their behalf an animal or a couple animals to clothe them and shed the blood of that animal. And then through that, then God has given the blood for sacrifice. Okay. Everybody take a look that direction. Pastor's taking care of it. Now, all direction up here. And so from the very beginning, though, God is emphasizing the importance of the blood. The importance of the blood. And blood sacrifices have been given down through the years. And in the Jewish, as God laid out the tabernacle and so forth, and the importance of the altar and the sacrificing and so forth for the atonement of sin. And so every year, animals were sacrificed for the atonement of sin. And it just covered up the sin for that year. But it was a type and shadow of Jesus Christ who is to come and to shed His blood once and for all. In Hebrews, I believe that's where I wanted to go. Oh, notes are back here. Yeah, Hebrews chapter 9. Verses 20 through 22. This is the blood of the covenant which God commanded you. And in the same way, He sprinkled both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry with the blood. Why? Because it cleansed. And according to the law, one may also almost say, all things are cleansed with blood, and without shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. And so without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. And it was the shedding of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the things that really, it's like nails on a chalkboard to me is whenever somebody, and I know there's some of the scripture translations say this, but his blood was spilled. To me, a spilling is an accident. Our children spilt milk at breakfast, right? That was an accident. It was no accident. He deliberately went to the cross. His blood was deliberately poured out for you and I. It was a deliberate act. He consciously knew what he was doing. And he even told the enemy, you have nothing in me. You can't take my life. I can only lay it down. And he willfully laid his life down and gave his blood so that you and I could be purchased, so that you and I could be cleansed of our sins and set free to walk with him. Amen? Amen. And so, let's take a look at what Jesus said about Judaism. I want to go to, first of all, Jesus said this in John 4:6. He said, or 14:6, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me. And we as Christians identify coming to the Father's is what? Entering into the kingdom of heaven, going where God is at. That's where we want to be, right? We want to spend all eternity with him. Well, the thing of it is, though, in Christianity, in true Christianity, in relationship with him, he comes and lives with us. Jesus said, I go and prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. In other words, he desires to be with you. He so desires to be with you that he decided, you know what? I'm just going to make my home there. He now lives in a tabernacle not made with hands. He lives in your heart. Amen? Amen. Also, another scripture, Acts 4:12. Anybody know what that one says without looking at it? Okay, I hear pages turning. You're cheating. And there's no other name given under heaven on earth by which man must be saved. In other words, salvation is only in Jesus. Amen? Amen. Now, okay, so the Pope says, well, we worship Jesus. And the Jewish nation, the Jewish religious system does not. They rejected Jesus. They're still looking for the Messiah. And they will get their wish. He will appear. And it will cause great grief among them. The Muslims, Jesus was a good prophet. He was a prophet. He's among the prophets. Amen? But Jesus, I want to go to John chapter 8. Gospel of John chapter 8. I'm going to start with verse 31, and I'm going to read down through 47. Are you there? Yeah. So Jesus was saying to the Jews who had believed him, if you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And they answered him, we are Abraham's descendants. Didn't we just hear that earlier? Hello? Yes, the three major religions claim to be descendants of Abraham. The Jewish nation, yes, we understand that, right? The Muslims, they are descendants of Abraham through who? Who? Ishmael. Okay, what about the Christians? Are they descendants of Abraham? By adoption. Absolutely. Okay? All three religions, we are descendants of Abraham. And they answered, we are Abraham's descendants and have never yet been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free? Isn't it wonderful how Jesus is able to make statements and that pushes buttons and causes those things within us to flare up and come out. I don't know, did he ever do that with you? Yeah, he has me many times, right. I think things are going really hunky-dory, and then he says, Sonny, what about this? Ah! Right? Okay, or maybe I'm the only one, I don't know. Verse 34, and Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is the slave of sin. You say they missed the whole idea, but he's bringing the discussion home. And the slaves does not remain in the house forever. The son does remain forever. So, if the son makes you free, you are free indeed. And I know that you are Abraham's descendants. He's acknowledging that. I know that you're Abraham's descendants. Yet, you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak the things which I have seen with my father. Therefore, you also do the things which you heard from your father. He's already distinguishing there's a difference between the fathers. Are you catching that? Then he goes on to say, and they answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. And Jesus said to them, if you are Abraham's children, then do the deeds of Abraham. But as it is, you are seeking to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. This Abraham did not do. You are doing the deeds of your father. And they said to him, we are not born of fornication. Now they're making a jab. We have one father, God. And Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and have come from God. For I have not even come on my own initiative, but he sent me. And why do you not understand what I am saying? It is because you cannot hear my word. You are of your father, the what? The devil. Even Jesus was telling the Jewish religious system, you're not serving the same God. You're not serving my God. You're not serving my father. Your father's of the devil. Now, don't go out of here and say that I'm saying that all the Jews are of the devil. No, I'm not saying that. Because there's a lot of Jews that have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ and are born again. There's a lot of Jews that have not known God or not known Christ yet as the Messiah, but yet they have a true love for God. But what he was taking the jab at was the religious system that has put emphasis on you've got to do this and you've got to do that. And they've made law after law after law. And they had the laws that of Moses to begin with, but then they put on what is called, we call fence laws, and they added a law to kind of help protect you to keep from getting to breaking that particular law. And then they decide we're going to add some more laws to protect and give a buffer zone. And so they got to the point where the law, their system has literally enslaved the people that were following it. And it was not of compassion and love, but of control. And the Muslim religion is the same way. It is not a religion of love and compassion. It is one of hate and murder. And their God is the same God as the devil. They call him Allah. And in the Quran it says, they're commissioned to kill all infidels. And what is an infidel? Anyone that is not a Muslim. That's the reason why the persecution of the Christian church has risen. It's deliberate. It's deliberate. And it's encouraged and enforced by their God, the devil. Let me go ahead and finish reading this, and then we'll talk about the Catholic Church. You are, verse 44, you are of your father, the devil. You might want to highlight that or underline that or circle it, whatever you do. And you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, He speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I speak the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I speak truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears the words of God. For this reason, you do not hear them, because you are not of God. I praise God that this morning, though, you have heard the word of God. And you've responded. You recognize it and you know it. You were rejoicing because of the word of God this morning. Amen? John says that the word of God was in the beginning, and the beginning was God. But what about the Christian church? Now listen very carefully. Because I know a lot of Catholics that are born again, spirit-filled, and feel like they remain in the Catholic Church because they feel like that's their mission. And I respect that. I do. I also know a lot of Catholics, they used to be Catholics, that are born again and stepped out of the Catholic Church. So I don't want you to go around and say, well, Pastor Sonny said that Catholics are going to hell. No, that's not it. But there is a problem, though, with Catholicism. I saw a clip, I don't know if it was this week or last week, of a young lady, and she said, I'm so tired of all of the Protestants saying that us Catholics are going to hell and that we worship Mary and so forth. And she said, we do not worship Mary. Well, there's a lot of Catholics that don't worship Mary. I agree with that. But the Catholicism teaches, though, that Mary is on equal plane with the Lord Jesus Christ. Am I right? Yes. It's in the Catholicism that they must go through to be confirmed into the church. That's just one of the things. There's many others. There's a lot of rules and regulations, and in the Catholic Church you've got to do certain things to find favor, to remain in favor with God and with the church and so forth. They also teach that salvation is not through Christ and Christ alone, but through the church itself. They teach if you leave the Catholic Church, you're going to hell. You know, if you read the last chapter of the Bible, it says those that add to or take away, their names will be erased. You see, Catholicism is added to and taken away and have made their own religion. And this is what saddens me more than anything else. Is through the last just few years, I know the Pope has met with many different Protestant leaders, world renowned leaders in the body of Christ, and has convinced them that the rebellion against the Catholic Church was one of the greatest sins of all. And I'm not going to mention the name. If you want to know who it is, you can come to me later and we'll talk about it. But one of the guys that I have growing up kind of cut my spiritual eye teeth on, I heard a couple years ago, within a year ago, preach a message that we should have never have revolted and split from the Catholic Church. And I'm thinking, there's a reason why Martin Luther nailed that 99 theses against the wall or on the doors. There's a reason, and it was a good reason. Number one, we're saved by grace, not works. Amen? And the list goes on and on. It goes on and on. We had to pull out from that. Are you with me? One of the... I can remember, but this was back in the early 80s. I had gotten my degree in theology. I was pastoring my first church back in Illinois. Now, I pastored a church in Missouri before I came back to Illinois. And then I got my amateur radio license, and I can only do code. But I remember one night I was talking to this guy out west. I think he was in Colorado. And we got to talking about, somehow we got on religion, imagine that. And told him I was a Baptist and so forth. I'm a Baptist pastor here. And he said, I used to be Baptist, but now I'm Catholic. And I mean, my jaw hit my desk. How did that happen? How could you have gone from grace into works? Because he didn't know who his God was. He didn't know the fullness of Jesus. He didn't know the power of the blood. He didn't know. Somehow he missed it. Being a Baptist, I don't know how. Because that's driven home. I mean, our anthem is, there's power in the blood. Now, granted, the Catholics make reference to it. And they do reverence communion. But they have polluted it. They have weakened it. Amen? How are you going to defend your faith? How are you going to stand strong in the midst of this? You've got to know. You've got to know. Oh, the blood, right? We sung about it earlier. Oh, the blood. And oh, there's my notes. All right, you ready? We're going to go through some scriptures here really quick. Are you okay? Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand? I love the Jewish nation. Do you understand? I don't love the Muslims. I'm just saying. But do you understand? I also love the Catholics. I do. I told my wife in ministry years ago, give me any and all backslidden Catholics. They come out with a faith like I've never seen in a lot of Protestants. They do. They believe. They believe. I can remember one time, and this is just kind of a side note, while they're getting the scriptures ready to fire them off. I remember, you remember Catholics always had to eat fish on Friday? Yeah. Yeah. And then the Pope came out and said, well, you don't have to do that anymore. And I remember one Catholic lady goes, oh my word, I don't know what to believe. If they're saying now we don't have to eat fish on Friday, we can eat meat, then what other lies have they told us? I mean, it was an eye-opener for her. It was a real struggle. Amen? Okay. All right. So let's ready for Romans chapter 5, verse 9. There it is. Much more then, having now been what? Justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Next scripture, 3:25. Whom God set forth a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed. Did you catch that? It's what? By faith. Your faith, we are saved by grace. What? Through faith. And it's having faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and all that He has done, the power and the blood. Amen? Right. Next verse. Ephesians 1:7. It says, in Him we have redemption through His what? His blood. Say blood. Every time blood appears on the screen, say it with me, okay? So in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Next one, Colossians 1, 19 and 20. Yeah, that was 19, I'm sorry. Very good. For it pleased the Father that in Him all the fullness should dwell, and by Him to reconcile all things to Himself, by Him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of His cross. Next scripture, Hebrews 9:13-14. Listen, before we read this, let me encourage you this week. Get into your Bibles and read Hebrews, especially verses or chapters 9 and 10. And you'll read about how the sacrifice of Jesus was sufficient, and meaning that nothing else was needed. It was sufficient. And it was a supremacy of the blood of Christ. Okay? Hebrews 9:13 says, for if the blood, you didn't say blood with me, for if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sacrifices for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Next one. Yeah, 10:19-23, thank you. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood. Wake up, church. Come on, stay with me. Let's restart all over again. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holy place or holiest by the blood of Jesus. Now, next verse. By a new and living way which He consecrated for us through the veil, that is His flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed in pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope and without wavering, for He who promised is what? Faithful. Amen. That's a good verse to memorize, those verses, right? It'll help you. It'll help you. 1 Peter 1:18. Know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold, for your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers. Whoa, who's their fathers? Some of you are starting to get it. But with what? But with the precious blood. There you go. Good. Of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. And the last one, 1 John 1:7. Listen to this. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Do you see the importance of the blood? The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Who do you worship? You worship God the Father through Jesus Christ. We worship Him because He's worthy. He is worthy. He's the only one worthy, found of all of our dedication, all of our worship, because He did all of the work. He did everything for you and I. The Father, through the Lord Jesus Christ, has provided everything. Say everything. Has provided everything needed for life here on earth as well as in heaven, spiritual life.
for life, everything needed for life, and what? Righteousness. Remember 1 Corinthians 1:30? It's not my fault. It's by His own doing that we are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us what? Wisdom and what? Starts with an R. Righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. There it is. Amen? By His doing. What makes your Christianity far different than any others? Than the Christianity of the world and the other major religions? Don't buy into, well, we're all serving the same God. No, we don't. Our God is a loving God. Because of His goodness, He's good, and He's good all the time. And because of His goodness, He calls us to come into repentance. Amen? He did everything. And by faith, we receive it. We receive it by faith. Don't let the world rock your faith. Stay true. Stay true. Stay true. For He is faithful. Amen? Next scripture. 1 Corinthians. Got it? You need to know which one it is. 1 Corinthians 10:16. There we go. Okay, there we go. Look at that. The cup of blessing. Now, Jesus, or Paul is talking to the, he's writing this letter to the church at Corinth. And he's dealing with a lot of issues. But listen to what he says. He says, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? Yeah, thank you, blood. So a little delayed, but we got there, didn't we? Let's do that again. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? And the bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? This morning we're going to take corporate communion. And so as you come by, be meditating on the blood of Christ and the power of the blood. One of the things I didn't get into is that the blood of Christ is very special. Very special. Christ was totally human, but He was also totally God. And the blood that He shed was not human blood, it was God's blood. And the baby in the womb, and this goes with any baby, the baby in the womb, my understanding, my wife being used to be a child care teacher, childbirthing teacher, whatever, smarter than me, let's put it that way. As well as some of the teachings in Canale, brought out the fact that the child's blood, when the child is in the mother's womb, the blood of the mother and the blood of the child do not mix. It doesn't mix. The blood of the mother nourishes the baby through the umbilical cord. It also eliminates the waste of the baby, but the bloods never mix. That's the reason why the baby's blood can be unique, a unique type from the mother. And so the scripture says that Jesus, who knew no sin, did not have the sin nature. He was not born in that. His Father, as He brought out, was the Heavenly Father. His mother, yes, was an earthly mother, and she gave birth to him. And that's the reason why we can say he was fully man, but also fully God. And the blood was special. His blood was special. You see, the blood of all other animals, the blood of any other individual would not have worked, would not have been a one-time, once-and-for-all sacrifice. It would not have been sufficient. It would not have been supreme. But the blood of Christ was unique. And he who knew no sin became your sin. And when he died as you. And he was buried as you. And he was resurrected as you. And the scripture tells us that when he ascended to the right hand of the Father, guess where we were? With him. We ascended with him. It's a great mystery. It's a great mystery. But you can only receive it by faith. Amen? Don't let anybody rob you of your faith. Stay true. Stay in the Word. Tell somebody about your Jesus. Amen? Tell somebody about your Jesus. Let's stand and go to the Word, Lord, in prayer and get ready to for communion. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Did that help anybody? Did it help you? Amen. Overcomer. I love that. Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. Heavenly Father, Lord our God, how we just give you thanks again. Man, what an awesome God you are. And we're so thankful that for the message that you've given us. We thank you for the Word. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the power of the Word. We thank that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We thank you that the Word literally came to live and dwell within us. We thank you that the Word is alive and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, is able to literally to divide spirit from soul and sin and righteousness, and able to declare those great and mighty things. We worship you, Lord Jesus, and we thank you for all that you have provided for us. We thank you for all that you have purchased. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are still alive today. Yes, our God died, but he rose again the third day and seated at the right hand of the Father. And the scripture says, because he lives, we can live. I thank you, Father, for the bread and the wine. Blessed art thou, Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth the grain from the ground, and the juice from the vine. And we thank you, Father, for the representation, but it's even more than that. When Jesus took the bread, he said, this is my body. Take and eat. And he said, this cup is my blood in the new covenant. The old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. So bless this bread, the body of Christ. And bless this cup, the blood of Christ. And may those that come and participate this morning be blessed in it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We have two different kinds of bread. Pastor Lance and Tabitha. Oh, okay, absolutely. Phyllis. I know the table is busy, but listen to me. The principle is still true. The table is set and you have been invited. Come, eat. Make two lines and come through.
Father, we just thank you today, Father, for your word, and we thank you for your spirit in this house. Father, you're such a blessing to us. You bless us above all things. The Lord has brought a couple people in our house today, Connie and David. They're in need. Not just financially, but they're in need. They're cold. I don't know if anybody has a blanket in this house. Anybody has blankets or a jacket that they want to give away. Gloves. Gloves that they need. They've been in a tent. They're cold. I'm not for sure what blankets we have here, but they're in need of blankets to stay warm. Need of gloves, hats. EBT card is like they had $23 left. See if you would like to give. I don't know what that looks like today. You have a jacket or you have a gloves or hat. I'll scrounge around here and see what I can find at the church. But they're in need. This is what we do as a church. We can praise the name of Jesus, but if we don't put nothing behind our belief and our faith, what good is it? So I'm going to close. If you have something for them, you can either lay it at the altar, you can lay it over at their seats. And then we're going to look around the church to see what we can find. So Father God, I just thank you, Father, for your heart. I thank you for what you do in this place, oh God. I thank you for the heart of your people, because you live with inside them. You dwell within us. Father, I pray for our compassion to be like your compassion and our joy to be like your joy. And so, Father, we come into this place today and just glorify you, glorify you, and glorify you. And Father, as we leave today, let us be a blessing to someone. Father, let your face will shine upon us and give us peace. Follow us wherever we go. Be with us wherever we're at. Let your name be proclaimed from our lips. I pray that in Jesus' mighty name.